This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. In transition from the intermediate science to the major science, there are a few ahadith that are very relevant, which speak about general guidance from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about what to do when people will see fitna, people will see problems, people will see various chaotic situations and turmoil surrounding them. And these are certain directives from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell us what to do in those situations. After reading all of those ahadith about what is going to happen, and yet more to come about the major events that are to happen, we want to know now what we're supposed to do. So that's a bit of a transitional few ahadith which we'll read inshallah, then we'll start with the first major sign. And what is the first major sign? It's the Mahdi alayhi salam. So we'll be looking at the Mahdi inshallah. Firstly, there's a hadith that's related by Imam Muslim and Imam Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. From Ma'qil ibn Yasar radiyallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-ibadatu fil harji ka hijratun ilayya. Worship during the time of chaos, confusion, is like migrating towards me. You know, like the Sahaba left everything and they migrated. That was a really big thing to do, to abandon your land, your house, your home, take only what you can, literally escape from Makkah to go to Medina for the sake of the deen. That's hijrah. You can imagine the reward of that was great. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying that when you find a chaotic situation, and chaotic situation means all of those ahadith that we've been reading, when you see those things and it's difficult to act on your deen, but somebody still does ibadah, it's like doing hijrah towards me. So that is probably why it's another hadith will support that though we might have to do less, because it's a struggle to do enough, the value of the less may be a lot, in a different kind of way. Allahu alam. Another hadith related by Bukhari this time, and Tirmidhi, from Zubayr ibn Adi, says, we shakawna ila anasim min al-hajjaj. So, it was during Hajjaj's time. We read about Hajjaj earlier. We complained to Anas ibn Malik, who was one of the last Sahaba to pass away. Over 90 years of age, saw so many of his sons and grandsons die before him. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made a dua for him because he had been a khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obviously he's seeing all of these different things from Rasulullah's time, you know, spending nearly 10 years with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali radiyallahu anhum, Muawiyah and all the rest. And then comes Hajjaj. So somebody complained, this person says, we complained to Anas radiyallahu anhu about Hajjaj. And you know what his response was? He said, Isbiru, innahu la ya'ti alaykum zamanun illa walladhi ba'dahu sharrum minhu, hatta talqaw rabbakum. He said, just be patient. Just take it, bear it. Be patient, tolerate it. Because if you think this is bad, he didn't say that. But what he said was that there'll no time comes upon you except that the one that comes after that is going to be worse than it. Until you meet your Lord. That's when you get respite. So just be patient. And then he said, سَمِعْتُهُ مِن نَبِيِّكُمْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I heard this from your Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Next hadith is from Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah. Thawban radiyallahu anhu relates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا أَخَافُ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي الْأَئِمَّةَ الْمُضِلِّينَ وَإِذَا وُضِعَ السَّيْفُ فِي أُمَّتِي لَمْ يُرْفَعْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. I fear on my ummah from misleading leaders, leaders that mislead. This could be religious leaders. They will mislead you in your religion, and then misleading leaders of the world who will take you towards the dunya and zulm on you and so on. So this could refer to all sorts of imams. And the Prophet ﷺ said something else. He said that once the sword is placed in my ummah, meaning once it's used, like it was used against Umar radiallahu anhu, right at the end, and the door was broken, and the fitna just expanded and burst forth, then against Uthman radiallahu anh, then it will never be lifted after that until the Day of Judgment. So they will always happen. But then we're getting certain directives about what to do in this situation. Tabarani relates from Utba ibn Ghazwan radiallahu anh. He says that إِنَّ مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ أَيَّامَ الصَّبْرِ المتمسك فيه يومئذ بمثل ما أنتم عليه له كأجر 50 منكم. الله أكبر. Behind you, to come after you, are the days of sabr. Like you think it's tough right now, there will come times where sabr will be the way to go forward. The one on that day who holds on to what you are trying to hold on to today will receive the reward of 50 of you. So worship. When it's time of fitna, you'll get the reward, subhanAllah. He's talking about the Sahaba. He's talking about 50 times the reward of Sahaba. And most likely it'd be 50 times the basic reward of the Sahaba. Because when you look at all the bonuses the Sahabas receive, I mean, it's impossible to reach their status. But at least 50 times the basic reward, which is still a huge amount. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this one, he's like thinking aloud. He says, it's related by Abu Dawud and Nasai. He says, كَيْفَ بِكَ إِذَا بَقِيتَ فِي حُثَالَةٍ مِّنَ النَّاسِ مَرَجَتْ عُهُودُهُمْ وَأَمَانَتُهُمْ وَاخْتَلَفُوا وَكَانُوا هَكَذَا وَشَبَّكَ بَيْنَ أَصَابِعِهِ. He said, how will your state be, or how will it be with you when you will remain among the chaff of the people? You know, when you take away, when you deal with barley or anything else, you take away the chaff, which is the outer shell or skin, which is useless. It's the inside that you want. How will you be when you'll be left in those kind of people? Nobody with any essence, nobody with ruh. It'll be just huthada. Their treaties, their promises, trustworthiness, and anything to do with honesty and trust will all have disappeared. And they will be like this. And the Prophet ﷺ put his fingers, intertwined them together, and he said, they'll be like this, all messed up. So the Sahabi asked, فَبِمَ تَأْمُرُنِي? What should I do? What do you command us to do in that situation? قَالَ أَلْزِمْ بَيْتَكْ وَأَهْلَكْ. And now, I don't think the time is here for this yet, before anybody decides to stay at home tomorrow. He says, hold fast to your home. Stay in your home and with your family. Don't go out anywhere. Confine yourself to your home and your family. وَأَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكْ. And keep your mouth under control. Don't say anything to anybody. Don't even go to say, don't do this to someone. Otherwise, it'll cause a big uproar. It's like flames are everywhere. You're saying anything will just make them go bigger. That's how bad. I don't think it's like that right now. Right? So, it doesn't give us an excuse to just sit back and do nothing. There are people, I know people, I saw them not coming to the masjid except for Jumu'ah. And just whenever they come, they don't want to look at anybody. I say, he said, there's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when a time of fitna comes, you stay in your house, you don't talk to anybody. It's not that bad yet, come on. Inshallah. وَخُذْ مَا تَعْرِفْ وَدَعْ مَا تُنْكَرْ. Take only that which you recognize to be definitely yours. And leave anything that you think sounds strange. Or only accept whatever you can recognize to be true, and absolutely leave alone and abandon what has any doubt, you don't know. That part is, it's there. The confusion is there. Alhamdulillah, not in all communities, but in communities that don't have ulama, that doesn't have guidance, then anybody and everybody is giving fatwas. Anybody and everybody is finding things from the internet, from sites and places that they don't know about whether they're authoritative or not. And that's why people are getting confused. They're sitting down and saying, oh, I think it's like this, and the others, I think it's like this. I read about it. Where do you read about it? Oh, on some website. So only take what you recognize to be from an original, authentic source. And leave that which is confusing. وَعَلَيْكَ بِأَمْرِ خَاصَّةِ نَفْسِكَ. And it is necessary for you to just deal with specifically yourself. Just deal with your own affairs. Don't worry about anybody else's affairs. وَدَعْ عَنْكَ أَمْرَ الْعَامَّةِ. This is very clear. Leave the matter of the people alone. Of the general laity and people, leave that matter alone. Just focus on yourself. Because you can't help anybody. You know, as I said, I don't think this time is here for the majority of us. Maybe in somebody, maybe in their family or something, maybe like that. But consult with ulama before you start sticking in your home and, you know, not coming out even for jama'ah and not talking to anybody. Because shaitan will mislead people and make you think that it's a time of such fitna that you just sit back. Then you will be missing out on so many rewards of other things. And you get depressed, which is the worst thing. وَهَذَا And Allah says in the Quran, عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ That, you know, you're necessary for you to take care of yourself. So that means anybody who is misled will not be able to harm you because you're only worried about yourself. But that's only in times of great fitna. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu relates in this hadith of Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. At the end of it says, a similar hadith he relates. They asked, what do you command us to do, Ya Rasulullah? He said, Kunu ahlas buyutikum. Be, ahlas is the plural of hils. And hils means two things. Hils means the person who just loves his house, addicted to something. He's just addicted to his house, it doesn't go out anywhere. So that was a name for people who are addicted to anything. Hils means a person who is addicted to something. And another meaning of hils, which is similar, hils means the saddle blanket. Because it's so close to the horse and it stays there, under the saddle, so the saddle doesn't hurt and harm the back of the animal, right? It's always stay there, you don't really take it out. So, or they say it's like a rug of the house, you don't keep moving it out. So just stick in your house, low profile. Another hadith in which Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu relates. Now, when he talks, you need to listen because he knows the secrets. Qultu ya Rasulallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have told him a similar thing like this. So he's always looking for a way out. He's saying, Ya Rasulallah, after all this goodness that we speak about, is there going to be evil? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told about good times. After the goodness, is there going to be evil? Bad, harm. Qala na'am. He said yes. And then he explained what that's going to be. Du'atun ala abwaabi jahannam. These are inviters, da'is, inviters, seemingly to the path of Allah, but they will be at the doors of jahannam. So they'll invite you to what seems Islamic and good, a good way, but if you go with them, it'll take you to jahannam because they're actually inviting you to jahannam. Without maybe even realizing themselves, because of the incorrectness of their approach, misguidance, ignorance, but they're big da'is. Man ajabahum ilayha qadhafuhu fiha. Whoever responds to them, they will throw them into the hellfire. So then, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, "Sifhum lana." Explain these people to us. Describe what these people are going to be like. هَلْ هُمْ مِنْ جِلْدَتِنَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِنَا He's wondering if they're aliens. So he's saying, the Prophet ﷺ said, no, they will be from our skin. And they will speak our language. These aren't going to be people from another planet. Because this was surprising, like, you know, what kind of people would be these? So then he asked, فَمَا تَأْمُرْنِي إِنْ أَدْرَكَنِي ذَلِكَ What do you command me to do if I confront that situation? تَلْزَمْ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَإِمَامَهُمْ You will stick to the general body of Muslims and their imam. So if this is an isolated thing that somebody's coming to give you an idea of, for example, somebody who's calling himself a prophet, somebody who's calling himself to a strange way, right? Don't agree with them, but go with what the majority follow and the imams of the majority. Not just what the majority of people, but their imams follow as well. That will be safe. But then, I mean, subhanAllah, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu is very insightful. He said, but what happens if there is not a jama'ah who are agreed on something and it is so splintered and so chaotic that each group seems to be big enough and there's no imam. Then what? How do we discuss who's the group? فَاَعْتَزِلْ تِلْكَ الْفِرَقُ كُلَّهَا. Prophet ﷺ said, then leave all of those groups, all of those sects, leave them all, abandon them all. وَلَوْ أَن تَعُدَّ بِأَصْلِ شَجَرَةٍ حَتَّى يُدْرِكَكَ الْمَوْتُ وَأَنْتَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Leave them all, abandon them all, even if to do that, you have to go and bite hard with your teeth, cleave onto the roots of a tree until death comes to you. Then make sure you stay in that situation. Like, because what's going to happen, there's other hadith about this as well, that each group will want volunteers, will want followers. So they won't leave you alone. You'll have too much da'wah all over. Wherever you are, there'll be da'wah towards you. They'll be inviting you. So it means that if you have to get away into some jungle and just cleave onto the roots of a tree until death comes to you, can you imagine how bad it is then, that means? How bad it will be? In another narration from Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he said, يَكُونُ بَعْدِ أَئِمَّا لَا يَهْتَدُونَ بِهَدِي وَلَا يَسْتَنُونَ بِسُنَّتِي وَسَيَقُومُ فِيهِمْ رِجَالٌ قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبُ الشَّيَاطِينَ فِي جُثْمَانِ إِنْسٍ. After me will be imams, leaders, who will not guide with my guidance. They'll provide a form of guidance, but it will be totally different from what you've ever heard from me. They will not follow my sunnah. We're seeing people like this already. They're demoting the sunnah to a whole different level. It's not important. وَسَيَقُومُ فِيهِمْ رِجَالٌ. And then among them will be some men whose hearts will be the hearts of shayateen, in the bodies of humans. So their hearts will be completely overtaken by the shaitan. قَالَ Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu asked, كَيْفَ أَصْنَعْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنْ أَدْرَكْتُ ذَلِكَ. That was his question all the time. If that happens to us, if we see that, what do we do? May Allah thank, may Allah reward him. Because he asked these questions and we have that guidance. Imagine if it was somebody who just sat there and listened. We won't know what to do. But this was obviously Allah's doing, that he had him ask. قَالَ تَسْمَعْ وَتُطِيعَ الْأَمِيرِ وَإِنْ ضُرِبَ ظَهْرَكَ وَأُخِذَ مَالُكَ وَإِنْ ضُرِبَ ظَهْرُكَ وَأُخِذَ مَالُكَ. Imam Muslim has related this. Now, this is a weird situation. Because this is such a bad situation that you can't get away with it. You will just have to do what your Amir tells you to do. Because he said, you will just listen and obey your Amir. Even if that means that they will punish you, they'll strike your back, and even if your wealth has to be taken, you'll just have to just carry on. Don't go against it. Don't rebel. There's a lot of questions about whether rebellion is permissible or not. Yeah, I'm not giving any fatwas on any situation in the world, but rebellion in general is always problematic because it creates more chaos than living under the tyranny. I'm not pointing to any particular place because we could have people who might be upset about that, right? But I'm just saying in general, this is what the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. You do not rebel. I mean, the general ahaditha to that effect. And this is Imam Muslim's narration. Another hadith is related by Hakim and Bayhaqi. Abu Dharr radiallahu an. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Abu Dharr, O Abu Dharr, how will you be when you are going to be among the chaff of people? And then he put his fingers together again to show how it'll just be a very bad situation. What do you want me to do at that time, Ya Rasulullah? What do you command me? Isbir, isbir, isbir. Three times he said, be patient, patience, patience. Khaliqun nas bi akhlaqihim. Treat people with good character. Wa khalifuhum fi amalihim. But don't do what they do. You'll have to still treat people well, but you won't do and follow what they're doing because it'll be wrong. But it doesn't mean that, you know, if you turn away, it's going to be worse. So you treat people nicely. Khalid ibn Arfata, radiallahu an, says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, it looks like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this to different sahaba at different time. He He said, Ya Khalid, إِنَّهَا سَتَكُونُ بَعْدِ أَحْدَاثٌ وَفِتَنٌ وَفُرْقَةٌ وَإِخْتِلَافٌ فَإِذَا كَانَ ذَلِكَ فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن تَكُونَ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ مَقْتُولٌ لَا الْقَاتِلُ فَافْعَلْ. Imam Ahmad ibn Abi Shaybah, Nu'aym ibn Hammad, Tabarani, Baghawi, Barudi ibn Qani, Abu Nu'aym al-Hakim, all of these people are related to this hadith from Khalid ibn Arfata. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, O Khalid, after me, after I leave from this world, there will be incidents, there will be events that will occur, and fitna, trials, tribulations, furqa, ikhtilaf, differences, sectarianism. فَإِذَا, when that happens, and you are able to be a servant of Allah who is a killed one rather than a murderer, then be that. Be, you'd rather be murdered and killed in that than be one of those who killed the others. Because you don't know who's going to be on the right side. It's going to be so chaotic that it's going to seem like, oh, these people are right. They're going to give you dalil. These people are right. They're going to give you dalil. It's going to be so chaotic that if you then take on one side and you kill somebody from the other side and that was wrong, because maybe they were both wrong, because knowledge may have gone, so they're both wrong, they're all fighting for the batil, maybe, wallahu alam, maybe the group that's on the haq is a small group that's left somewhere. But if you are a killer, then you will be accountable, whereas if you're killed, then you're shaheed. Again, as I said, when we look at this, we get some optimism that it's not that bad yet. That's why I'm looking at these ahadiths, because sometimes the other ahadiths make you feel that we don't know the way out. But it's going to get worse. وَنَبِي أُمَامَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ سَيَكُونُ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ شُرْطَةٌ يَغْدُونَ فِي غَضَبِ اللَّهِ وَيَرُوحُونَ فِي سَخَطِ اللَّهِ فَإِيَّاكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنْ بِطَانَتِهِمْ. I'll tell you another situation. When you're in one of these countries where the police, the army, is being used against their own people, and they don't want to do it, but they have to follow orders, otherwise they get killed. But this is a similar situation, that you'd rather be killed than kill somebody else. Because look at this next hadith from Abu Umama radiallahu an. He's saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the last of times there will be police, shurta, police, security people, personnel. Yaghduna fi ghadabillah. They will go out in the morning with the anger of Allah, and they will come back with the wrath of Allah. So in the whole day they're in the wrath of Allah because of what they're doing. فَإِيَّاكَ, beware of being one of their close associates. Forget about being them, but even their close associates. Imam Tirmidhi relates famous hadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّكُمْ فِي زَمَانٍ مَنْ تَرَكَ مِنْكُمْ عُشْرَ مَا أُمِرَ بِهِ هَلَكَ ثُمَّ يَأْتِي زَمَانٌ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْهُمْ بِعُشْرِ مَا أُمِرَ بِهِ نَجَى. That you are right now in a time that if you abandon 1/10 of what you have been commanded to do, then this, you're destroyed. But a time will come when if those people just act on 1/10 of what they are told to do, or what is being commanded, then they will attain salvation, they will gain success. I don't think it's that bad that we can only do 10%, maybe quality-wise, ikhlas-wise, quality-wise, but in terms of the amount, alhamdulillah, you know, this country, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep it good for the Muslims, make it better, inshallah, because we still don't have that problem, whereas other countries in Europe, like Germany and other places, Belgium, France, they've got some weird idea of secularism, which is a really strange idea of secularism, where you know, certain ideas that happen to be Muslim ideas are not allowed in their understanding of free speech. That the whole aspect of allowing somebody to wear what they want to wear is going against free speech in some very convoluted way. And the strangest thing is that people high up in the government pass these laws and they all agree to it, which means that there's a general kind of majority idea, which also reflects badly on the Muslims, that they haven't done enough to get into the political realm to be able to influence different decisions. Or maybe it's just a major test and we don't want to, you know, we definitely pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it doesn't happen here. Ibn Abi Dunya relates from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu actually used to say every evening, every Thursday evening. I think he used to give a talk every Thursday evening. And he used to say to his companions, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ. So he used to have a weekly dars. If I remember correctly, he used to have a weekly dars. Maybe on Thursday night. So he used to say, every week he used to say, this was one hadith that this was one statement he would always make. سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ تُمَاتُ فِيهِ الصَّلَاةِ. A time will come upon the people in which salat will have died. Will have died a death. Tumat. Will have died a death. Which means that maybe there's no spirit left, so it's dead. Or it's physically dead in the sense that it's not being performed. وَيُشْرَفْ فِيهِ الْبُنْيَانِ. And just big buildings are being looked at or raised. وَيَكْثُرُ فِي الْحَلَفُ وَالتَّلَاعُنِ. And there's just a lot of cursing and of each other and swearing. And وَيَفْشُ فِيهِ الرَّشَى وَالزِّنَى. And zina, fornication, and rasha is bribery will be widespread. And tuba'ul akhirah bid-dunya, and the hereafter will be purchased with this world. So people will just enjoy their whole world by selling their hereafter. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ ذَلِكَ فَالنَّجَى النَّجَى. When you see this, then naja naja. So they didn't understand what that meant exactly. وَكَيْفَ النَّجَى. How is the possibility of getting out of this? قَالَ كُنْ حِلْسًا مِنْ أَحْلَاسِ بَيْتِكَ. That be a rug of your house, or be an addicted to your home. Stay within the confines of your home. وَكُفْ لِسَانَكَ وَيَدَكَ. And withhold your tongue and your hand. Imam Muslim relates another hadith from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there was never a Nabi that was sent before, a prophet, before me, except that he would, among his ummah, he would have companions and hawariyin, very close disciples and hawariyin. Every prophet had close disciples and companions. They would adopt his sunnah and they would follow it. Then people would come after them. After this group of great people of any prophet would pass away, then the next generation would come. يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ. They would say those things which they don't do themselves. They would do things which they have not been commanded to do. And whoever strives against them with their hand, whoever does jihad against them with their hand, he's a mu'min. Whoever does jihad against them with their tongue, he's a mu'min. Whoever does jihad against them with their heart, he's a mu'min. And so whoever strives to stop them, to change them, to prevent them, to give them nahi anil munkar, to stop them from what they're doing, whether you do it physically, right? Whether you do it by your tongue, please don't do this, you know, it's haram to this, wrong to this, or at least with your heart. Minimum. And that's why he said, وَلَيْسَ وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ حَبَّةَ خَرْدَلٍ. Because if you don't even think bad about these things, then behind that, beyond that, there is not iman even as much as a mustard seed. Which basically means that if there's something wrong going on and we can't stop them by physically like moving it away or whatever their story is, and we can't even say anything to them, and the only thing we can do is to think bad about it, then we're still somewhere. Because if we don't even feel bad about it anymore, maybe because it happens so frequently that we get used to it, then after that, there's no iman, even as much as a mustard seed. That is scary. That is scary. Especially when the propaganda is against anybody who feels bad about bad things. It makes you feel like it's tolerable, it's okay. Definitely, many things have become more tolerable for us than they were 15 years ago or 20 years ago. Allah protect us. Imam Tirmidhi relates from Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man akala tayyiban wa amila fi sunnatin wa amina an-nas bawa'iqahu dakhala al-jannah. whoever eats pure food, halal, pure food, works according to the sunnah, and people are safe from his harm, he will enter paradise. So a person said, Ya Rasulullah, this is quite abundant among the people. He said, yes, but this will be a challenge. Or he said something to the effect that this will occur in the people after you, that this will be very significant. Because the person was asking, well, this is everybody's doing that. Well, what's a big deal? He said, no, it will be a big deal afterwards. Tirmidhi relates from Anas radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, Ya Bunayya, O my son. Because you remember he was young at that time. إن قدرت على أن تصبح وتمسي ليس في قلبك غش لأحد ففعل. If you are able to spend the morning, to enter the morning, wake up, enter the morning, and to enter the evening in a state that you don't have any hatred or hard bad feelings about anybody, then try to achieve that state. Like, don't have harbor any bad thoughts about anybody in the morning or evening, which means for the whole day. You enter the evening, which means that from the day you enter the evening having no bad thoughts about anybody, then make sure you do that. Then he said, Ya Bunayya, O my son, وَذَلِكَ مِن سُنَّتِي. This is from my sunnah. I don't harbor any. This is my sunnah. وَمَنْ أَحْيَى سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. And whoever enlivens my sunnah, does my sunnah, follows my sunnah, then he loves me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And whoever loves me, they will be with me in paradise. Imam Bayhaqi relates from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu an, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِسُنَّتِي عِنْدَ فَسَادِ أُمَّتِي فَلَهُ أَجْرُ مِئَةِ شَهِيدٍ. Whoever follows my sunnah, whoever holds fast to my sunnah during the time of the corruption of my ummah, when sunnahs are being missed, that's when we're talking about corruption of the ummah. Whoever holds fast to my sunnah at the corruption of my ummah, then for him is the reward of 100 martyrs. So any sunnah that is not there, dead, you enliven it, 100 martyrs reward. And the reward of a martyr is that before his blood falls to the ground, all of his sins are forgiven, except debt. Another hadith says the reward of one shaheed. But that would depend probably on what kind of sunnah you are following. That ends our section on some guidance about what to deal with. I think we're probably about 50% there, 50 to 60% there. I don't think it's 100% there that we have to just stay at home and, you know, sign on. I don't think it's that bad yet, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not let it get bad. May Allah let it get good. Before it gets bad. I mean, the reason I say before it gets bad is because it's going to get bad. Because the Prophet ﷺ said so, we can't reject that. That's going to happen. But it could get better before it gets bad. Allahumma anta salam, aminka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab al-nar. Jazallahu anna muhammadan ma hu ahlu. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghith. اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله أو الله accept our du'as. أو الله by these lectures that we're doing, أو الله grant us insight so that we can strengthen our faith. أو الله allow them not to be just mere storytelling. أو الله allow them not to be just an entertaining hour on a Friday night. Oh Allah, make them insightful for us so that we can benefit from them. Oh Allah, so that we can resolve to do the right things and so that we can avoid the mistakes of the people of the past. Oh Allah, grant us taqwa so that we can stand in front of you with taqwa and you're happy with us. Oh Allah, forgive us our sins, forgive us our wrongdoings. Oh Allah, grant us guidance in all of our matters and allow us to be protected. Protect us from the evils of our nafs and our soul. O Allah, all those who are working to elevate your kalima, la ilaha illallah, support them, strengthen them, unify them, and keep them steadfast. O Allah, grant them all the assistance that they need. O Allah, elevate your kalima. O Allah, make us worthy of that. O Allah, grant us all the ability to do that which pleases you. O Allah, to avoid that which displeases you. O Allah, allow us all to be obedient. O Allah, grant us power over our nafs so that we only do the good things and the virtuous things. O Allah, accept our du'as. O Allah, accept our du'as and protect us from all evils and all fitna and problems. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.